Escape from Amazon sounds like the title of a summer blockbuster movie. Certainly, authors, publishers, and independent bookstore owners would dearly love to see that movie made. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Trapped in the e-commerce jungle, the denizens of the book world can only dream today of escaping from Amazon. Instead, they while away the time in weaving fantasies of an alternate universe, a place where Amazon plays nice, a place where Amazon gets beaten at their own game, and even a place where Amazon no longer exists. For an analysis of these dreams, we turn to Beyond the Book's resident psychotherapist and senior writer for Publishers Weekly, Andrew Albanese, or should I say Dr. Andrew. Welcome back to Beyond the Book.
Hey there, Chris. Thanks very much.
So we are deep into the summer here, the silly season it sometimes is, but hardly silly in the book world. Things haven't slowed down or gotten funny at all. In fact, quite serious business going on. No shortage of headlines with Amazon in the title. And as the dispute with Hachette slowly grinds on, we've just heard from Authors United in a long-awaited letter. And what do we find there, Andrew?
Yeah, well, that's a good place to start with the Authors United letter because, you know, well, honestly, there really isn't all that much to report in the letter, which makes it a perfect summer story. You know, I have to say that after the weeks that we've spent awaiting this letter's release, it's a bit of a disappointment to me. You know, in all, some 900 authors, including marquee names like John Grisham and Sherman Alexie, as well as a host of debut authors and midlist writers, basically ask Amazon politely to end its dispute with Hachette. The letter is going to be published in a full-page ad in Sunday's New York Times, I believe, so you can check out all those names there, or you can go on the PW website and see the list now. So why am I disappointed with the letter? Well, you know, you'll have your own opinions, I'm sure, but I think the letter is a bit aimless. There's really no bite to it at all. In fact, you know, the letter basically says only, you know, please be nice and please sell our books. It really doesn't shed any more light on the fundamental dispute between Amazon and Hachette. And in fact, as far as I can see, it really opens the door for Amazon to respond with another round of its own PR, which, you know, we've seen that at play in recent weeks, and I expect we'll probably see another round in the coming weeks. So to me, the letter and the long list of names in the letter are a little more than like a loyalty oath of sorts to the industry. And while I respect all these authors very much, and I appreciate their perspective, and that they have some skin in the game, if this is the extent of the leverage that the publishing industry has at their disposal, I think we might be in a little trouble here. You know, for 900 authors to say, you know, we're not taking sides in the contractual dispute, which is what they say in the letter, but here's Jeff Bezos' email address, so send him a note and, you know, tell him to be nice to us. Well, it's a bit of a head scratcher to me because I think they do have a little more at their disposal than that. So we'll have more on the letter at the Publishers Weekly website and also in Monday's issue of Publishers Weekly. But frankly, I'm not sure how much we're going to be talking about this letter or Authors United in the coming weeks, with one big caveat. I do suppose it's possible that Amazon may be looking for a way to sort of de-escalate the tensions that it's ramped up. And this letter really could be the perfect opening for that. You know, not that I think this is going to force anyone's hand on actual negotiation terms, but you could very well see Amazon offering some token gesture in response, may go even a little beyond just a PR-generated response. But I think Amazon's probably going to stick to their guns, and I don't see this letter as being really any kind of a game changer in that long-running dispute.
Well, as far as game changes go, Andrew, we learned this week that Google and Barnes & Noble apparently are going to try to compete with Amazon on book delivery. And I guess we have to ask you if you think that is a game changer.
Yes. So, you know, this week we also learned that Barnes & Noble is in a pilot with Google to offer book delivery in a few selected sites via Google's shopping service. But, you know, it's a nice little chapter in the how do we beat Amazon story, but I'm not really sure of the impact there either. And again, it's kind of a head scratcher to me, and a head scratcher that we might even portray this, you know, as it was in a couple of publications, as a possible competitor to Amazon. I mean, it certainly can't hurt, right? It's a new service, but, you know, today, right now, if I want a book, my choices are I can download it immediately to my device, or I can order the print via Amazon and likely have it within a day or two, often the next day. So I don't know how much room for impact is really there between those two fairly convenient options already. And of course, you know, the other thing too is I can just simply, you know, get off my couch and walk down to my local bookstore. So I don't know that this is going to really make a dent in Amazon's armor in any ways. And, you know, if I was an independent bookseller, I don't think I'd be too thrilled that Amazon's ebooks and free shipping are squeezing me on one side, and now Google and Barnes & Noble are going to threaten my same-day sales. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that, but it doesn't really seem like much of a game changer there either.
Well, indeed. And you know, in this report on all the news that fits to print about Amazon, you at Publishers Weekly have a piece by author Chris Kubica that looks in on a meeting he held, a brainstorming meeting with a number of people from the publishing world, to imagine not only a better Amazon, but maybe a response to Amazon. In other words, the perfect bookstore, something they could all live with. And this, in turn, has generated its own response. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is a great little piece from Chris Kubica on the PW website now, and it was a soapbox in last week's issue of PW on, you know, what a real competitor to Amazon would look like. You know, and in the coming days, we'll be following up with more on that. You know, but the backstory basically is that Chris and about 20 or so of his fellow publishers and publishing types from the Read20 listserv met in New York City to brainstorm what building, like, the dream bookstore would look like. You know, they really, you know, had a vision of competing with Amazon, and I think Chris was actually hoping to come up with a store that actually they could build and actually run it out there and fund it at some point. And you won't be surprised to know that they didn't actually get there. But, you know, you can read the piece and you can see the various things that they did discuss over 2 days, and you can get a broader sense of what their version of the perfect bookstore would look like, or at least the direction that it's heading in. Now, a few takeaways. You know, first, this exercise on its surface may seem to be as wishful thinking as, you know, a 900-page author petition changing the Hachette Amazon negotiations. But what I really love about this effort is that this is how you beat Amazon. You know, this is how you build something better. And the way you start that process is by dreaming a little. You know, you figure out all the pain points in the system as they exist now, as Chris calls them, and then you dream up a wish list of features, and you go from there about, you know, you think about how you're going to build that. So since Chris's piece came out, there have been some excellent follow-ups. Porter Anderson had a nice write-up, as did Laura Dawson, who was actually part of the group. All of these are worth reading, as are the comments on the piece on the PW site, some of which, you know, they're, you know, borderline trolling, as internet comments will be, but others offer some really good, honest feedback. So I'd love for listeners to actually go to the PW site and read the piece and add their comments and add their voices to the piece. But a couple of things really jumped out at me, too. And one is that after spending 2 days brainstorming how to be better than Amazon, the consensus among those over that 2-day meeting was that, you know, Amazon really is pretty good at what they do, but they're not perfect. And, you know, we're in this little moment in time now when not only is the idea changing of what a bookstore can be, but so too is the very idea of what a book is. And I think this is a really vital point. Amazon got where it is because it dreamed big. And while I can applaud efforts like Doug Preston's plea for fairness and the Authors United petition and Barnes & Noble offering same-day delivery of books, I think to win the future, the dream is going to have to be a little bit bigger than that. And I think that's what we see reflected in Chris's piece. So I'd be most happy to hear our listeners and their versions of what the dream bookstore of the future would be.
Well, for that dream analysis, we really appreciate your joining us. Dr. Andrew Albanese, senior writer of Publishers Weekly, thanks so much.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer and co-producer and occasional host is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.